Oh my God, do the Buccaneers need this win? Look, they're usually better on the road. I asked Bowles flat out on Friday, tell me the mood. Tell me the mood of the team. You've been losing. You're still in the mix for the NFC South. We're going to go there. We're going to play hard. We're going to play our butts off. All right, let's see it. I got you on tape, Todd Bowles. Welcome to Bucs Kickoff Podcast. I'm Rock Riley. 24 to 48 hours before every Tampa Bay Buccaneer game, home and away, I got you covered. I'm inside one buck. I'm there during the week. I'm there for the practices. I'm there for the press conferences. I am in the locker room. It was a little bit of a different week this week because of the Thanksgiving holiday. I hope you all had a nice turkey day. And I also want to tell you about a Black Friday deal. But this is Bucs Kickoff Podcast on the biggest, baddest, badass informational Buccaneer website in the world, and that would be joebucsfan.com. But first, I got to tell you about, you want a Black Friday deal? How about this? How about 0% financing? This is only exclusively at Bill Curry Ford Tampa. BillCurryFord.com. That's their website. They have a beautiful showroom. They're right up the street from Raymond James Stadium, 1 mile north on Northdale Mabry. 0% financing offers that are nearly impossible to find anywhere. You can check it. Go to BillCurryFord.com. Go to JoeBucsFan.com. 0% financing. I know this for 72 months on new 2023 Ford F-150s. They've got these offers. You got to go to BillCurryFord.com. And listen, Bill Curry Ford has been family-owned Ford dealership in Tampa since 1958. The guy you want to see, GM Sean Sullivan. Huge Bucs fan. Huge Joe Bucs fan. He will personally take care of you. Any of your automotive needs, ask for Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford. You can email him. Go to BillCurryFord.com. You can stop in. Best way, you can call and get personal service from Joe Bucs fan, Big Bucs fan, GM Sean Sullivan. They've got a nationwide lifetime warranty on all new vehicles. That's what I love. But right now, this 0% financing offers, you just go BillCurryFord.com, Black Friday. Good luck to you. That's your big Black Friday deal for you at Bill Curry. All right, let's get into this game. You ready? Bucks at the Colts. At Lucas Oil Stadium, 1 o'clock kickoff. You are who we thought they are. You are what your record is. And the Buccaneers are 4-6, although they're still in the NFC South. Believe it or not, they're only one game behind the stinking Saints. Buccaneers 5 losses last 6 games. Buccaneers have lost 4 out of their last 5. Bowles told me they play good on the road. Let's see it. If you didn't hear, Lavonte David, their all-world veteran linebacker, is out. And I pretty much figured that. He didn't practice all week. That's going to hurt. Now, Bowles says it's going to be a package deal. You'll probably see Sebastien Dennis. You'll see maybe KJ Britt. You'll see a couple of other guys. That's going to be a tough one. Also, cornerback Jamel Dean is out. Devin White is listed as a game time decision. He's going to go. I watched him Friday at the running and some of the drills. He looks pretty good to me. Also, Carlton Davis, he was working one-on-one with a trainer, but I saw him backing up, lateral movement, side to side. All those game time decisions, pretty much mark it down. They're going to go. Tristan Wirfs, he's looked fine. Hell, he looked fine even on Tuesday in the locker room. He had no limp at all. I know he's had a leg injury. It had been an ankle, and then it was a knee. But no Lavonte David and no Jamel Dean. Now, on the other side, the Indianapolis Colts. Oh, and what I do here on Bucs Kickoff Podcast, to make it a little bit different of the gazillion Buccaneer podcast that you get, I'm there. I give you my under the rock, what I've seen, what I've heard. Now, this was a different kind of a week because of Thanksgiving. Sometimes over the many, many years that I've covered the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you're like, all right, you know it's Thanksgiving because Thanksgiving Day, they have a shorter practice and then they can go their separate ways in town. The younger guys usually get invited to someone's house that don't have anybody. The other ones, you can spend time with your family, get your turkey, dinner and all that jazz, and you're fine. When I was there on Friday, everybody seemed to be in a good mood. Bowles said it was actually a little bit relaxing. Baker Mayfield told us early in the week he loves Thanksgiving because he watches football. He said it's the best thing that the NFL ever did, adding that third game on Thanksgiving Day. So they came back. They were in a pretty good mood. I was there for practice on Friday. They came out to Eminem, Slim Shady. They were blasting the music. They had a little bit more pep in the step. I'll get into my end of the rock here in just a second, but that was good to see. But I asked Bowles flat out, like, what's the mood of the team? You know, you're still in it, but man, you've been losing. And he's like, we're going to go there. We're going to play our best. We're going to play our butts off. We're better on the road, and we're going to give it our, you know, we're going to give it our best. All right, man, I've been hearing these same phrases for the last, I don't know how many weeks. And this, you know, this is a damn winnable game. It really is. All right. Let me break it down real quickly. All right. Offensively, Gardner Minshew. Now, they were very high on Anthony Richardson. He gets hurt early. Gardner Minshew is inconsistent. He really is. 8 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He's below 200 yards per game. He's averaging 191, 63.7 completion rate, 2 touchdowns rushing, but they are a two-headed running monster. That's going to be the key for the Buccaneer run defense, which if you look at these numbers, they're decent. They are decent. They're actually 5th in the NFL, allowing 90 yards per game. But Bowles, Larry Foote, one of the coaches on Tuesday, he spilled the beans. He's like, Bowles told all of us, like in the big team meeting on Tuesday, don't be just concentrating on Jonathan Taylor, their running back, who is damn good, because you're going to get burned by this other guy, Zach Moss. So make sure you focus on both. Don't just focus on Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor was out for those games with a suspension. They have been bringing him along slowly. Last game he had 23 carries. He was looking more like himself. And Zach Moss is good. This kid is 9th in the NFL in rushing. 5 touchdowns, 6.9 yards per carry. He's also good catching balls out of the backfield, 13.7 receiving yards per game. Now, Gardner Minshew's wide receivers, what's he got? He's got Michael Pittman Jr. Oh, Michael Pittman. The son of Michael Pittman. I remember when Michael Pittman came to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers many, many years ago. It was at the old One Buck. I was there the day that he arrived. All the players were busting his chops on how big his arms were, his guns. They were huge. I remember especially Derek Brooks. It wasn't like they were making fun of him. They were just, they took a picture of Michael Pittman's arms next to all of the defense. And it was so noticeably different. But Michael Pittman was a good guy, good running back. But his son, Michael Pittman Jr., is talented as hell. 67.7 yards per catch, 6 catches per game, 3 touchdowns. They've also got this Josh Downs. He's young. He's fast. He's very quick. He's averaging about 52 yards per game with 2 touchdowns. Look, the Colts are just like the Bucs. They're a little better. They're 5-5. The Bucs are 4-6. The Colts are playing for that last wild card. Right now, they're one game out of the last wild card. The Colts defense, they have I would classify it as a good front. It's not as good as San Francisco 49ers, who the Bucs played last week. But it's good. It's good. And DeForest Buckner is their leader. You know, of the front, he's been there and done that. Their linebacker Franklin is good. Their defense, they've got 11 interceptions, 3 from the corner Kenny Moore, 3 from their safety Julian Blackman. The negative, though, on the Colts D, when you just look at it from afar, is they give up 24.8 points a game. That's 26th in the NFL, and they're 25th in yards allowed. So it's kind of like that bend but don't break, but also they can give up the points, okay? But the Buccaneers, man, coming off the loss in Santa Clara. Now, I had a lot of people over the holiday. I don't know about you. You know what? They played a lot better than I thought they were. Everybody was saying that same thing to me. I'm like, I'm not into participation trophies. We're further along in the season now. Hell, this is a new head coach here, okay? They're 5-5. They're on a 2-game winning streak. And they're coming off a bye. You know, what's the Buccaneers' excuse? We're not. Even Larry Foote, who on Tuesday told us, he goes, I don't call guys rookies now. You're here long enough, okay? You want to, and the average expectancy, the life expectancy for an NFL player, I remember running backs, it was 3 years or below. So you're already like past your halfway mark of your first year. You know, this excuse anymore, oh, they're playing it. Is that what it is? Play it close? Participation trophy? So let me not get ahead of myself. For you gamblers, the spread is at 2.5. Colts are favored by 2.5, over under 44.5. I will tell you this. The Buccaneers are 5-0 against the spread in road games. But the Buccaneers' passing defense has been bad. Too much cushion, breakdowns, used to be miscommunication, busts. Do you know the Buccaneers' defense, regards to the pass, they are 30th in the NFL, giving up 270 yards per game. Now, the Buccaneers' defense, much better. 9th in the NFL. They're only allowing 20 points a game, and this is going to be the big test with Jonathan Taylor and Zach Moss, and that's what they want to do. They don't want Gardner Minshew to be throwing it all around the yard. All right, let me get to what I do that's a little bit different here on BigBadJoeBucksFan.com with this Bucks Kickoff Podcast. I bring you in the building. I'm there. There's a ton of Buccaneer video cast, webcast, podcast, and they're in different states, different places. I mean, they get their information off the website. You can do homework, so can you. But I mean, I'm there. And a lot of times, the vibe you get from being there, you will see something and you're like, oh, or this guy's got something going on over here. And a lot of times it translates. Now, this was a different week, like I said, with Thanksgiving. When we got to the facility on Wednesday, okay, it was raining. It was one of those indoor practices. And, oh my God, it was so quiet in that Advent Health Center indoor facility. It was a walkthrough. I wouldn't even consider it a Wednesday practice. I was given to them, well, you're late in the season. You don't want to put any strain on these players. Or is it because it was a rainy day and you just want to give them a break? I mean, no shoulder pads, no helmets even. Quarterbacks weren't doing anything. A lot of times when they go in, if it's raining on a Wednesday, at least the quarterbacks will do something. They weren't doing nothing. I mean, it was a walkthrough. And then they had a Thursday, a little shorter practice for Thanksgiving. And then we were not able to go in the locker room. There's no what they call media availability on Thursday to talk to anybody, coaches or players. Now, when I got in that locker room on Tuesday from this entire season, this is the quietest that I had seen it. There were not a lot of players around. There was one chess game going on. There wasn't even the big card game that's down the end. No Ryan Jensen, no Evans, no Devin White, no music being played. I noticed the pop darts have returned. Hadn't seen them since last year. It's like a little cornhole game, but they throw these darts with the little stick'em and they stick to the board. Scotty Miller used to be the ringleader in previous years, but that returned. It was just very, 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 very low key. So after Thanksgiving, when I got there on Friday, it was a lot more upbeat. Even though there was a light drizzle, I was surprised. I was glad. They actually said we're going to practice outside, even with a light rain. It was very, very light. A lot of times anymore, they don't chance it. They don't want a player to slide or to slip or maybe to pull something. So they usually take it in. But I was happy to see that. They were outside. They came out. And when we got there, they were blasting Eminem's Real Slim Shady, and the players seemed to have a little extra step. When they went to their position drills, I looked around. I was noticing Carlton Davis. He was moving side to side and backwards. He was looking good. Like I said, Levante David, when he was doing his running, he was looking okay to me. I know they say he's game time decision. but I didn't see Levante David Dean. So those are the only two that were out. Then I went over to the quarterbacks and I was watching and I saw something I hadn't seen before. But Canales has got so much energy, man. And you can hear it, and he's talking. He's talking to Baker Mayfield. I didn't play high school basketball, but I didn't pick up and this and that. He is nonstop ball of energy. And then what they do is they start with some drills. They'll have a coach. They have somebody, one of the coaches just flips them the ball, and then or there'll be a snap, and they'll roll out right. They'll roll out left. They might hit a corner, go to a corner of the field. Maybe something over the middle. All three quarterbacks, they rotate. It's kind of getting them loose, not long. And all look good, all had zip on the ball, this and that. Then they moved to another field. And it was wrapping up the 20 minutes or 25 minutes that we can visit, they'll let us see. And then once we leave, they tell us to shut it down and you close that big wrought iron gate. That's when they'll go into their 7-on-7, 11-on-11. They'll be doing some other things. I did see a pretty cool fake punt, but I don't want to give it away in case the word gets to the Indianapolis Colts. It was pretty cool. And if it happens, then I'll tell you the next day. I saw them practicing it. It's pretty cool. That I saw. But other than that, you're not seeing any kind of scheme, any kind of trickery. You don't see that anymore. But the one thing that I did see, and I guess pretty much all quarterback coaches, maybe all, I don't know. Clyde Christensen did it for the last couple of years when he was here with the GOAT as a quarterback's coach. And Canales does it. So the quarterbacks are on one field and they are around the 50-yard line. And they take it, no defense, nothing like this. There's no receiver. And they throw it, and they try to get the ball closest. It's like a coffin corner kick. You know when a team is punting? You know what I mean, the coffin corner? They do the same thing throwing the football. They put a spin on it, and they try to get it to get as close to the pylon at the one, at the two, at the five, and as close as they can. So each one does it. Starts with Mayfield, then Trask, then Wolford. And then they walk up, and they're allowed to do one kick. It's like a putt. They're on the putting green. If they can just put it to get a little bit closer. And then they got the assistant coaches. They get into it. They'll measure it out with the feet to see who wins. There was a commotion, so I couldn't see whether it was Trask, for you Trask lovers, or if it was Mayfield. But they really get into it, and it's kind of fun. It's just fun. I know in years past, when the GOAT would try to hit the, it's like a big round donut in the golf cart or the laundry basket or the thing. And I mean, somebody like, what's this? What's this good for? It's to beat the monotony of the day-to-day practice, and they have some fun. So that, but I had never seen that. I'd never seen that one before. That was a little bit different. But all in all, and that was it. And then Friday, you don't get to go in the locker room. You just, if you want somebody specific, sometimes I've done that for my other podcast, but you just get the coach coming off the field, and then they're going to get read. They don't want to really do any talk. But if you have something that you're doing a feature on, you can ask. And they all got in. They seemed like there was pretty good mood. It was overcast. It was cloudy. So it seemed the same. Like, again, I've wanted to see more of we've got to win. We have to win. I think at this point, when you're at this point in the season, they know the deal. They know the deal. And again, you're still in the NFC South. You know, you really are. So, and I do want to get into the Colts because I was... Let me just see. I jotted down. I want to make sure that I get it right. So I listen to, I like to go to the opposing team's reports. And I listen to Shane Steichen, their new, you know, head coach, and also to Gardner Minshew. And both were given a ton of respect to Todd Bowles and the defense. I'm listening to these guys and I'm like, okay. Are they watching the same thing? I mean, oh my God, it was like Todd Bowles can walk on water. Their coach says that I've got so much respect for Bowles, the way he disguises his pressure packages. He said they have a good offense. Baker's playing good. Evans and Godwin. And I just started thinking, have you ever heard of a coach? Let's say an NFL team is going to play the New York Giants. Okay. Or who else is one of the worst teams in the NFL right now? Don't you want to see hear a team coach say, man, they suck. God dang, we should be able to take advantage of them. It's always praising them up and down. And it was no different with the Indianapolis Colts this week. Gardner Minshew, he was talking about the Bucs front. He said they're super physical, they're good against the run, their backers fly around. And again, he goes, Coach Bowles is one of the best in the league at disguising looks and pressures. I feel really good about our plan. This is Gardner Minshew, and we should be ready for it. And he said it with kind of like a little bit of a grin right there. So whatever they have seen in what Bowles is going to bring with the Bucs defense, Minshew did say, that's the one thing I took out of it. I feel really good about our plan. We should be ready for it. Now, don't forget, the Colts were in Germany, and now they had their bye. And Gardner Minshew was saying that he's really excited to be able to actually play a home game. They're looking forward to that. And guys got healthy on the off week. See, that's the thing. The Buccaneers, since their bye, what the hell happened? You know what I'm talking about? My God. But let's delve into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a little bit. You know, in the media room, we were kind of like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Is Baker Mayfield going to get a contract extension? Are they going to go high, try to go high in the draft to get one of these stud quarterbacks? Who is Todd Bowles going to be? If he's not, who would be the new head coach? Is it going to be a new system? Like, there is so much up in the air. But the one thing that the Buccaneers can control is this damn game. Like Baker Mayfield said, at this point now, it's just every Sunday, one game. You don't look ahead to squat. Mayfield, in the loss to the 49ers, 29 of 45, 246, one touchdown, one pick. That's pretty much what he is. Buccaneers rushed 18 times for 66 yards, but the Buccaneer defense gave up 305 yards passing, a completion rate of 84%. For the genius that Bowles supposedly is, the way he disguises all of his pressure packages. And it's also, too, they're not getting to the quarterbacks, man. They're not. You know, you can't expect to be blitzing every single play to get there. But the Buccaneer defense, man, gave up 305 yards passing. Now, I know the San Francisco 49ers are one of the top two, three in all the NFL. They're good. Buccaneers defense gave up 115 yards rushing on 30 tries. The Buccaneers offense, they're averaging 19 points a game. And the Buccaneers defense this season versus the pass, 30th for a veteran team. And with the same system, giving up 2,707 yards. Bucs defense versus the pass, it just has not been good. The Bucs are still in the NFC South despite losing 5 of 6. You know, the Bucs D gave up 420 yards of offense to the 49ers. They had just held the Titans the week before to 209. I'm looking at the Colts being offensively maybe, especially with Jonathan Taylor starting to round into form. I think that the Colts are a little bit better offensively than the Titans and their rookie quarterback, Will Levis. I wouldn't say they're better than the Houston Texans and C.J. Stroud and company, and they certainly aren't on the same level as the San Francisco 49ers. Let me give you some matchups and keys. These are my rock matchups and keys here on Bucks Kickoff Podcast on JoeBucksFan.com. Number one, I am going with the Buccaneers rushing defense, okay, against Jonathan Taylor and Zach Moss. If you are able to contain, if you are able to limit them to about 80 yards, I think with Minshew and forcing him to throw more, I think they'll come out with a W, okay? The Buccaneers defense has got to get some pressure on Minshew. Now, I saw Kalijah Kancey walking out. He's coming on, but you need to see a little bit more. You know, I thought he was really coming on last game. The last five games, how about this one? Gardner Minshew has thrown 6 picks, all right? As I said about up and down, he's very up and down. The Buccaneers offensive line has done a decent job with the names that they've got on there. And Mayfield has been sacked. Last game, though, he was sacked 4 times in that loss to the 49ers. But overall, this season, and Mayfield helps with this because he's good at eluding pressure. The Buccaneers offensive line is 5th in the NFL in allowing sacks. The Colts defense, pass rush is decent, but not as good as the 49ers. In the red zone, this is a big key. The Buccaneers defense is number one. They've done a very, very good job. When a team's doing, players are doing good, I'm going to tell you. But when they suck, I'm going to tell you too. The Buccaneers defense is number one in touchdown percentage. Very, very good. Last week against that powerful 49ers team, I think they went 2 for 4 in the red zone. Now, on the other side, the Colts offense in the red zone, they're good. They're good. They're tied for 6th best in the NFL. A matchup to watch for that scares me is Zion McCollum when he's going to have to go up against Michael Pittman Jr. Now, Zion McCollum is, I think they list him as 6 foot. Maybe, what was he, 190, 195? He's okay size-wise, but Michael Pittman Jr. is 6'4", 225. He's having his best season. I believe he's in his 4th year now, Michael Pittman Jr. Kalijah Kancey, you got to bring it. You're going to be going up against Quentin Nelson. Now, Quentin Nelson was balls to the wall first couple of years. He's not quite on that level, but he is still damn good. He has only allowed 1 sack all season. And Kalijah Kancey, you know, when you're young, you heal faster. He is healed from that calf injury where he was out 4 games. You need him in this game with the tackles for loss, the TFLs, and the quarterback pressures. Now, I don't believe that the news of the week is going to have any damn effect on a team like the Colts. If you were fought, maybe you didn't because it was Thanksgiving holiday. I took off a whole 24 hours where I was like, I'm not going on social media, man. I know for you, probably like, oh, I'm hardly ever on it. I know, but for what we do here, you got to be on it and promote and tell what's going on. But you might not have been aware. So this week, the owner, Robert Irsay, did an HBO. Well, it was playing. I don't know when he taped it with Andrea Kramer. He also got in where he admitted that he basically flatlined when he was addicted to drugs and she's like, you almost die. He's like, yes, he did. And I know a guy that covers the Indianapolis Colts. He used to be here in Tampa Bay and he was like, I have tried for weeks to get Irsay, not a weeks, a long time to commit to the sources that I had that he almost died. But I just wasn't able to do it. HBO, he did it on HBO. Then Irsay also got in a Twitter war with ESPN with Stephen A. Smith and on one of his DUI, when a DUI arrest, 2014, I believe, or something. And he said he just pled guilty to get out of it. He didn't want to go any further in it or something. And you're not going to win it, but you're the owner. But whatever. So the Colts were in the news this past week for everything but the game. But as you get later in the week, or you go in a locker room, or you talk to players, or when you watch a practice, and then you get to game day, the last thing they're thinking of is, oh, Robert Irsay was on HBO and he admitted he almost died. Or Robert Irsay was mad at Stephen A. Smith on Twitter or X, or none of that. So I honestly think that that's not going to matter at all. You know, I've had a couple of people, is that going to be a distraction? I doubt it. And the Buccaneers are feeling the same way. Once you get that first snap, all that, excuse me, all that goes away. The other news was too, Anthony Richardson, and I know this drives Lee crazy. One of the Joes, Lee, oh my God, he thought Anthony Richardson wasn't even going to be drafted in the first round. That's what I was back in the combine. I said, Lee, you're crazy. And blah, 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 blah. Well, Anthony Richardson, they liked him. They liked him. And he was well liked. And he was back in the facility this week. He is rehabbing shoulder surgery. And even Gardner Minshew, he's saying all the right things. Good to have him back. But he is well liked. He is well liked. So he's back in the building. So there's that. But that Anthony Richardson being there or being on the sidelines ain't going to. I don't think that that's going to be what's going to cause a win or a loss. A couple of stats to throw out to you. The Colts have now lost 7 in a row at home against the NFC, including a game against the Buccaneers back on November of 2021. Buccaneers won that game 38-3. The Colts offense is 9th in the NFL. Averaging 24 points a game. The Colts defense allowing the Patriots to rush for 167 yards in their last game where they won. That was a low scoring game. Don't remember now. They had the bye last week, but I'm talking in their last game. That's all we're basing it off of. After missing the first 4 games, Jonathan Taylor, 23 carries. This is in that Patriots game, 69 yards. And Gardner Minshew, 18 for 28, 1 interception, 194. Again, you are what your record says you are. Gardner Minshew is 200 yards, maybe 1 touchdown, definitely 1 INT. The last game was against the Patriots. It was a 10-6 win, and that was the game in Germany. But, you know, like the Buccaneers, man, they I don't know. I don't have confidence of any of these games. You know, how about you? A lot of people, these are all winnable games. Well, I'm not confident. I'm not. I hope that they will show me something, but I'm not seeing anything that would make me think that things have turned. You know, the tide has turned. You know, and going back to that 49ers game, Brock Purdy looked so poised. This guy was the last pick in the draft a couple of years ago. Mr. Irrelevant. 3 touchdown passes. Of course, that 76-yard touchdown to Brandon Ayuk. It was blown coverage. Brock Purdy threw for 333. He joined Joe Montana with a perfect passer rating with at least 15 attempts. The 4-yard touchdown pass to McCaffrey. The 3-yard touchdown pass to Kittle. Bucks lose for the 5th time in their last 6 games. The thing that disturbs me is opposing quarterbacks starting to have these NFL records. You're supposed to be a veteran-led defense with a great play caller and defensive play calls in Todd Bowles. And Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, is setting a record to tie Joe Montana. And a couple of weeks ago, CJ Stroud is breaking an NFL rookie record. Was it Andrew Luck's record? I mean, these are record-breaking NFL records. Shouldn't be happening. So the Colts beat the Patriots 2 weeks ago. And then before that, they took care of business over Carolina 27-13. Devin White, he's still young. He's not old and washed up. He is fast. Do you remember what he timed? Didn't he have an incredible time in the NFL Combine for a linebacker? Was it a 4.2 something? I mean, Devin White played the entire game, 60 plays. He only had 3 tackles. What is up with that? Shaq Barrett had 6 tackles. Joe Tryon Shoyinka, no tackles, no quarterback hits. And now you don't have Levante David. Got a groin injury. I think that's smart, not even having him try it, because a groin injury is so damn tricky, and all you need to do is tweak it, and you will be out for many, 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 many weeks. And then Jamel Dean got hurt on 2 separate things. So there you go. But I am noticing, are you noticing that the Buccaneer rookies are starting to play a little bit more? Yaya Diaby, I think, is going to be a beast. Beast. Love his attitude. He's built like a brick. You know what? 2 sacks, 3 tackles for a loss against the 49ers. Kayvon Merriweather had 4 tackles. Josh Hayes had 3 tackles. Servacier Dennis, who's going to be counted on more in this game, 2 tackles. And then the kid out of Rutgers, the undrafted Christian Izian, with 1 tackle. But, you know, you're at that point now where, you know, you got to start playing some more of the kids. If they're starting to show you things, they're starting to grasp and not having to think and react. But, you know, the Saints and the Falcons are going to go at it. The Falcons are going back to Desmond Ridder. Logan Woodside is your backup quarterback there. What's going on with the Saints? That's what I'm saying. This is on a silver platter for you Buccaneers. Come on. It's right there for the taking. You gotta be able to do it. What they are saying is another segment that I do here on Bucks Kick Off Podcast. And basically what they're saying is blah, blah, blah. It's a lot of coach speak. It's a lot of player speak. It really is the same thing. I want once for somebody, just back in the day, I can't imagine a Warren Sapp or a Brooks or Lynch or Barber giving you something, realizing self-evaluation, something. Still haven't seen it. Still haven't heard it. Let's go back after the loss to the 49ers, Todd Bowles. We fought chances in the red zone. We just couldn't punch it in. On that deep ball to Ayuk, what happened? Blown man coverage. Didn't get his hands on him at the line. We didn't get our hands on him at the line, and we got beat. All right. At least at least he admitted it. We feel like, this is Todd Bowles, we feel like we play man coverage very well. They beat us. We don't have any moral victories. We're pissed about it. We're going to fight. We're going to scrap. We're going to cut out some mistakes. We'll be better because of it. I hope so. I got it here in black and white. You're going to be pissed off. You're going to be fighting. You're going to scrap. You're going to cut out the mistakes. You're going to be better. Let's see it. It's the details and the assignments. We got to cut out the mistakes. It's the small things. We feel like we're in every game. I did not feel like they were in the 49ers game. I didn't. I did not feel like they were in. I didn't feel like they were in the Lions game. I certainly didn't feel like they were in the Eagles game. But again, I'm just going back to what they are saying. Let's go back to Baker Mayfield. Mayfield said, first half, we only had it 3 times. The fumble was a costly mistake by me. We had some opportunities. Didn't take advantage of playing a team like that. You have to. You know what? That's a pretty good one. That's very honest. With a team like that, fights this hard, it's too damn hard not to think that we can't control our own destiny. I still believe in this group. So far, from what I have seen being there, they still believe in Mayfield, not Trask as of yet. It isn't like Trask is doing anything wrong. You know, his arm looks good. He's there every day working hard. He's in early. He's doing all the right things. But again, I would tell you, I would honestly tell you, and Joe Bucks fan, anybody at Joe Bucks fan will tell you, if we thought that it was time to make a switch, which I tell you, I don't think that it is. I think right now Mayfield gives them the best chance. There's a few things that he's regressed on, but he goes down fighting. He's strong. He's not going to take a sack. And there you go. That's basically it. The game is on CBS. We were kind of kidding around in the Bucks media room on Friday. Oh my God, it is the smallest portion of the country that I've ever seen, I think, on a map that's going to see this game. Nobody except you. You Buccaneer diehard. I know you're going to be there. You're going to be watching like me. It's a CBS game, and it's their number D team. Spiro, Adam Archuleta is on the color. Amanda Renner is on the sidelines. It is the fourth placed team, broadcast team, that's going to give you this game. You know what? I didn't want to do it. I was on local Tampa radio with a bunch of guys on the day before Thanksgiving. And we were doing our football pick'ems. Usually you do them on Friday. A couple of big college games, especially that Ohio State, Michigan State game. Oh, my God. It's going to be huge. My father-in-law is Ohio State. Family members, well, distant now, but Michigan. Oh, my God. This is just such a huge game. So we did our pick'ems, and it came down. And driving to the radio station, WDA, I said, I have no reason to be confident that the Buccaneers are going to win this game. I'm trying to find a reason. I'm standing there on Friday. I say to one of the reporters next to me, you know what? As far as the MVP right now, probably Winfield, I guess. And maybe a Tristan Wirfs. Hell, you gotta go with the punter. He boomed a ball that was so far in a little drizzle. He boomed it over Devin Tompkins, called for a fair catch, and he started backpedaling, and he just gave up. It must have went 15 yards over his head. But I'm like, how sad is that when the punter is considered one of the MVPs of the team? So that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't have any confidence. And then I got there, and I don't know if it was the ball busting with four guys, busting chops, this and that, and this and that, and I said, damn it. And it's not that I believe in Gardner Minshew. I don't think they have enough. Come on. You know what? I'm going to go one last shot. I'm going to go with the Buccaneers winning by 3 points. I know. Oh, my God, if they lose this game. So I'll tell you what, guys. Get your Black Friday deal now. They're running this 0% financing. You won't find this anywhere at Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com. Sean Sullivan, GM. 1 mile north of the stadium. 1 mile north on Dale Mabry from Raymond James. BillCurryFord.com. Sean Sullivan. Black Friday deals. Go to BillCurryFord.com. Go to JoeBucksFan.com. They've got an ad on there right there about Bill Curry Ford. All right, that's about it, man. I'm still enjoying every game, because it's still football season. You know, would you want to be in the colleges? This is like the last of the regular season. No. So that's it. Baker Mayfield, if you want a contract for next year, don't throw it away. Hold on tight. Don't fumble. Bucks O-line, you want Cody Mauch, that you want them to believe in you? You're doing a decent job. Hainsey, he was on the injury report. You better play hurt. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Tristan Wirfs still is incredible. This is it. So you know what? I'm going to go with the Bucks by 3. I know. I'm crazy. I already started hitting the eggnog. Actually, I didn't. It was a Bermosa from Big Storm. All right, guys, listen, enjoy the game. This is Bucks Kickoff Podcast on the biggest, baddest, badass, best Bucks website in the world, JoeBucksFan.com.